Welcome to Nighttime Conversations with Steve and Freya, where we take on the deeper subjects of relationships, life, love, sex, and personal happiness. I'm your host, Freya Norden. Remember to like and subscribe. Today, my guest is Marian Spurgeon. She's an internationally recognized trauma-informed hypnotist and NLP practitioner. In addition to being a certified hypnosis instructor through the International Certification Board of Clinical Hypnotherapists, she is the creator and host of the podcast, The Happy Safe Place. This is something you're going to want to check out. The Happy Safe Place explores resource states through a kaleidoscope of perspectives for the purpose of promoting emotional resilience. In plain speak, what this means is it gives you tools to feel better and heal your crap. Marian, I'm so happy you're here with me.
And a subject I wanted to talk to you about, because I know that you work with anxiety professionally.
Yes, I love working with anxiety. It's one of my favorite things.
Yeah, and it's coming up like crazy everywhere lately. I think most of the people that I've talked to have either they'll say that, oh, I have anxiety, it's flaring up, or they'll say my kids have it or my wife has it, and I've seen all these different posts on Facebook. I wanted to ask you, as a professional who works with it, what do you think is one of the most important things to understand about anxiety for people who are going through it or experiencing it?
Well, anxiety is just an experience in the body. And I think that sometimes even just labeling it anxiety, sometimes like I will even start by asking someone to just notice it as a sensation, right? Because a sensation is open to interpretation. It could even be something like excitement, you know? Excitement and anxiety feel similar, if not the same, in the body. And once you can just kind of identify that it's a sensation in the body, there's so many ways that you can go with that. I mean, I'm sure you also know this, as you're also someone who works with this. Did you want to go into techniques?
Yes, I will want to get into techniques. I was listening to you very, very intently, which is why I went silent for a moment. I really liked what you said about anxiety being very similar to other things like excitement. A quote that I heard a long time ago, it was, fear is just excitement filtered through a different lens.
Yeah.
And I really liked it. And it makes sense because it's similar chemicals in your body. And it's simply an interpretation of what those chemicals mean.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not even really to, I never want to invalidate somebody's experience of what they're having, you know, it's not so much from that perspective, but it's more just kind of a meta pattern of creating a little bit of distance between you and what you're experiencing.
So I want to ask you, why is it important that people actually do like take measures to manage their anxiety? I'm using the term manage. It could mean get rid of, but why is it important to deal with instead of just leaving or pushing aside or ignoring?
Because it gives you more choices in how you can respond to life.
I love that. Can you say a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So if you are going through life and you're starting to experience anxiety, in a way, it can kind of limit the options that you perceive in how to respond or what to do. It can feel like a contraction. If you have the tools to regulate your own nervous system, then you can approach challenges from a space of choice. You can decide, oh, like I have the choice of whether I want to freak out or whether I want to shut down or whether I want to stand up and broaden my shoulders and feel my feet connected to the ground. I can think of all these different ways to respond. I can actually access them, or I can access going to a better space. versus it can be very disempowering if you're just having kind of a reaction response to what you're experiencing in your body.
So you're saying that people's reactions to things, and if their reaction is fear or anxiety, or being triggered, that's actually a choice if you are able to deal with it consciously?
Well, I would say that it's not always a choice. Like, I don't think it's always a choice when people get triggered, but I do think that even recognizing that there's something that you can do can give you more choices. So it's a matter of usually approaching it from a more resourced state, like figuring out what you're going to do before you get triggered, when you get triggered, having a plan of what you can do so that you have more choices in that moment.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. And do you think that there's a difference between general anxiety? Let's say, because here's a hot topic, it's on the tip of everybody's tongue, with COVID and the world at large. Like, there's a lot of unrest. And I believe that that sort of constant low level or high level fear is contributing to people's generalized anxiety. So,
yeah, absolutely. How could it not? It's a mental burden. If you're constantly trying to figure out how to negotiate the basics of life and stay safe, and also kind of mediate your relationships with other people and what they think around all of this, whatever that is, I don't even know. But I know that even there's a lot of political polarizations going on, and that is stressful. So absolutely, I think the pandemic is contributing to stress.
So in this type of stressful world, how does a person, like a regular person, maintain their sanity instead of being drawn into having anxiety all the time?
I think it's important to focus on what you can control. And I'm saying this as, you know, I feel like I had to go through this myself when the pandemic hit. It felt like there were a lot of things that were not in my control. And there still are a lot of things that are not in my control. But, you know, I can also see that some of that is perception. Like, even before the pandemic happened, any number of things that could have happened that were out of my control. I could have died in a car accident. I could have had my house hit by a meteor. Not to catastrophize, but, you know, it is an interesting circumstance that our generation hasn't experienced. And I'm using that broadly. I don't mean like generations, but I mean like the people alive on this planet right now. Most of us have not experienced something quite like this, but it's an illusion that we can control things that are happening outside of us. So it's important, like when you start to feel like anxiety about things that are beyond your control, it's important to bring your attention back to that which you can control. And something really freaking basic that you can go to is your breath.
I was just going to ask you for two things, actually. One was, what's something that we can do in the moment right now? I'm just feeling stressed. You know, I'm anxious. It's a generalized anxiety versus in the moment reacting to something and having a panic attack. What can I do throughout the day to feel better if I have a lot of anxiety, generalized anxiety?
A really easy thing to do that I like to teach is to just cross your hands across your chest.
I'm doing that now. All right. Follow along.
And then with your right hand, go tap, tap. And with your left hand, go tap, tap. And then you get into rhythm like this. Tap, 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 tap. Tap, 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 tap. It's kind of like a heartbeat, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just feeling that. And I even like to combine that with just taking a moment to imagine a place where you feel totally and completely at peace. For some people, this is a shore on the beach. For some people, it might be a cozy space inside their home, or it could be a beautiful place outdoors, but wherever it is for you, just like thinking about a really, really relaxing place and then doing that pattern on either arm. I like that.
It feels very nice.
Yeah, it's like, I think of it as like a hug. It's kind of like a hug, but it's also kind of like a heartbeat.
Does it do any of that? Because it's on either side. Is mm-hmm. there any bilateral stimulation there? Is that?
Yeah, that's what that is.
That's what that is. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that comes up a lot when it comes to sort of bringing down an emotional charge. Mm-hmm. That seems to be a very common thing. That was really nice. These a lot of the anti-anxiety things are extremely simple
mm-hmm.
and easy to implement. So that's wonderful. Now, what if somebody was having an acute anxiety episode?
I would use that, honestly.
Same thing.
Yeah. I used that thing that I just showed you to help someone that called me because he was getting panic attacks that were landing him in the hospital. And they gave him meds. I think he took them. He wanted to try something that would just, you know, be a non-meds way to deal with it. But even just one session of that basically got him to a place where he could manage it himself.
Oh, wow. So would you say do it every time you feel it? Would you say put like a little reminder on your phone and kind of do it regularly throughout the day or what?
Yeah, you could do that. I think that would be a solid strategy. I recommend doing it whenever you notice that you're starting to get anxious.
Okay.
But just having a tool like that can make you feel like you have more choices, right?
What do you think about, I'm surprising you with this question, but what do you think about recreational herbs for anxiety?
First of all, I'm not a doctor, so you know,
yeah,
that caveat, but I think that they're good for some people, and for other people they might make them more anxious. It really depends on the person and the particular herb that we're talking about.
Yeah, I was thinking marijuana.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm saying like for some people, it can make you more paranoid, but it really depends on the strain and the person.
Yeah, I think it's my experience and what I've seen is that I think it's useful medicine for some things, and for something that's so easily resolvable and controllable on your own, like anxiety, I don't believe it's useful to be addicted to it. And by addicted, I mean to require the use of it in order to function.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the thing about it. There's not any, I don't have a problem with marijuana per se, but I have seen people kind of like self-medicate and kind of use that as a crutch to avoid feeling their feelings. And that's not really the most adaptive thing to do.
I think that what's lost in doing it a lot and needing to do like say higher levels of marijuana, you know what I mean, versus say one little puff or here and there. Mm-hmm. But I think what's lost in terms of your engagement with the world and your emotions and your presence is not worth what it does for you. Yeah, it's not worth it. And if you can learn different skills and then allow yourself to be more present and to enjoy life more, then that's definitely worth doing. Now, do you think that, this is an opinion question, but do you think that there's a difference between general anxiety and performance anxiety?
Yeah. I mean, there's situational anxiety and then there's just kind of a low level that you feel all the time. And so one would be like, you know, I normally don't feel anxious, but now that I'm about to give a speech or something like that, I'm starting to feel a little jittery. But I think that the techniques work in both cases. I don't think that you need a different kind of technique for one than the other. Well, I mean, you know, for stage fright, it might make sense to do some mental rehearsal. It might make sense to practice your body posture, but you can translate those techniques over to generalized anxiety too. if you are feeling yourself kind of constantly in a mood that you don't want to be in, put your body in a posture that feels better to you.
Is there something that you would like to say to give hope or to give advice or to give some information to the people who are really struggling with this subject matter?
Yeah, I would say have compassion for yourself, and there's hope. You know, this is something that you can learn to address. It may not be a magic pill, but it's probably not going to be as hard as you think. And just appreciate the lesson in that.
And was this, does this have anything to do with, I don't mean anxiety in general, but this concept of sort of safety and generating your own safety? You have something new.
I'm starting a podcast called The Happy Safe Place. And it's all about exploring what we can do when we are internally resourced. So it's like a combo of how to do that internal resourcing, and then also using the space to discuss things that are, I feel like, you know, just culturally relevant.
Is there a place where we can hear this now, or is that still to come out? I'm not sure where you were, because I remember you talking about it. And
so all right. So I was going to release it on January 20th. And if I can, I'm going to pull it back to release it this week, because unfortunately my day falls on Inauguration Day. We're going to be getting a new president. And so I feel, in terms of like getting people to even like kind of track that something's happening, I should do it now that the other thing that happened last week is sort of simmering down a little bit, and before the next big thing happens.
Right. Get that out. Well, I'm looking forward to it. I know that you had some wonderful things to say, and I'm looking forward to hearing more of you. Thank you so much for this wonderful piece of advice. Actually, really useful advice. I got a lot from it.
Awesome. It was lovely talking to you. Thanks for having me.
Welcome, Marion.